Now the kick inside forward 50. Bessier wants it over the top. She'll get it. She'll walk into an open goal. Darcy Bessio marked that one down. Picks another one for Carlton.
And the AFLW season underway last night with an emphatic win to Carlton over Collingwood, but more, it was the event. It was 24,000 people in Icon Park last night. And someone who's been right at the hub of all this and women's sport in general, very well-known and respected sports journalist Angela Pippos is on the line. Hi, Ange.
Hi, Kev. Wow, my head is still spinning from last night. What a magical night. Wasn't it fantastic?
Just the event. I mean, forget the game for a second and just 24,000 people lockout at Icon Oval and just a great night for sport in this city.
Absolutely. You could sense that it was a really special occasion and I felt so privileged to be there to watch history being made, and the atmosphere was sensational. Everybody knew that it was a history-making night, and it just added so much to the occasion. A happy, big crowd, lots of kids, lots of smiles, lots of little girls wearing footy jumpers with numbers on the back of women players.
Yep.
It really was one of those defining moments in Australian sport.
It was one of those things, too, that everyone that was talked to during the night all said literally the same expression, it's a dream come true. Did it tick all the boxes for you?
Absolutely. It certainly did. I mean, the lockout, I don't think anyone expected that. I mean, I had a sense that there was going to be a big crowd. I'd done some media during the week with our documentary, leading up to the documentary. And so I knew that there were people turning up. And I also knew that people who didn't like football were going to celebrate the occasion. So with those two factors, with the footy lovers and also those men and women who just wanted to be part of history and to see it unfold, I thought, wow, we could get a big crowd here. But I don't think the AFL expected it would be a lockout. 1,000 or so people couldn't get in. Gil McLachlan had to go out and apologise to them. So amazing, amazing scenes, and really confirming that there's an appetite for women's footy. And people just love to see, you know, equality and fairness and respect in action.
Did the game tick the boxes for you?
It did. It did. I was a little disappointed because in the documentary we followed Stephanie Chiocci and Moana Hope. So I guess I was favouring Collingwood on the night just because of the personal connection, yep, the emotional connection to those two women. So I would have liked to have seen Collingwood win, which is a sort of bizarre thing to say, really. I've never heard.
Wash your mouth out, Angela.
My mouth. But I was just so caught up in their lives and having, we met the families and, you know, so Nicole Minchin and I, the co-producer, we were just really barracking for those two women in particular. So look, you know, it was great because of the magic surrounding the whole affair, you know, and just everybody enjoying watching the history unfold. And Darcy Vesio, wow, wasn't that terrific? 4 goals, and she's a great player and a great woman and ambassador for women's sport as well. So it was fantastic to see her flying and getting some accolades finally.
Now, for those people who didn't catch the doco, can we catch it somewhere else? Is it going to be repeated, or can we see it online somewhere? Or because it was on immediately after the game finished. I taped it and watched it back a little later.
Yes.
But can we see it somewhere else if you were at the game last night or you missed it?
Well, Channel 7 has catch-up TV. It's
called
Plus 7. So on the website, you can see it there, and it's on the front page. So it's that's where you go to watch it. But, yeah, I mean, for us as well, we were, you know, leaving the ground when it was on. But I had seen it a few times before already, Kev.
No, and look, and a bloody good doco, Ange. Really,
oh, thank you.
No, really well put together. The stuff with Steph and her in the draft, I'd forgotten where she got picked up in the draft, watching it back last night. That was really emotional stuff.
It was, and when we selected Steph to be in the documentary, she was the captain of the Western Bulldogs.
Yeah.
So I just assumed that she would end up playing for the Bulldogs. And I thought, well, that's great because, you know, Moana's a Collingwood marquee player. We'll have Steph representing the Bulldogs. And I'll also have Taylor Thorne with that Adelaide Northern Territory connection. But, of course, it didn't go according to plan for Steph.
No.
She goes into the draft and, you know, which I said to her, I know this is a little bit stressful for you and your family, but it's great for the documentary because it does provide the drama. And we were with her the night before with her family and then, yep. you know, travelled in with her on the train and really felt her anxiety and her pain leading up to the draft.
Oh, yeah.
And when she was selected, you know, Nicole, the producer, myself and our sound recorders, we were in tears because we'd invested so much time and energy and emotion in her story that it was just so lovely to see her go to, let's face it, a big, great club, you know, the biggest club in the land.
Yep.
So, you know, and she's really happy. And it didn't take long for her to feel part of the Collingwood family. You know, she had that great history with the Bulldogs. She still loves the Bulldogs, but she's now Collingwood captain. And that's the other thing for the documentary. I mean, who would have thought not only does she go to Collingwood, she becomes the captain as well. So, you know, we take some credit for that. We think that maybe it was the doco.
Oh, absolutely, it was the doco. No, really good viewing, really good watching. Thoroughly enjoyed watching it last night. I sat down at about 11 o'clock after it had finished and watched it back on IQ and thoroughly enjoyed it. And did get pulled into that. There was a real emotional connection watching her. The agony of hearing the other girls' names called out when hers weren't, you're going, oh, for God's sake, do it soon.
Yes. Well, let me tell you this. Collingwood had a private screening of the documentary because they were going to miss it, obviously, when it went to air last night.
Yep.
So the players got together in the lecture theatre at Olympic Park there. And Nathan Buckley was also there and Brad Gotch and some of the coaches associated with the men's footy team. And they all teared up.
Oh,
that
surprised.
Is really, really heartwarming for us as filmmakers to hear that, you know, it struck a chord with them. And I think for a lot of people, me included, you know, I wasn't all that familiar with the history of the women's game either because it has been largely hidden or ignored.
Yep.
But there is a long history of women loving the game and also playing the game, you know, sporadically. When men went to war, women played exhibition-type games and filled that void left by men. And they played sporadically throughout the years until 1981 when the VWFL was formed. So there is, you know, a story to be told. And, you know, I just thought a year or so ago, look, you know, we had to tell this story. We had to mark the occasion because it's an important moment in Australia's sporting history, and these stories need to be told and need to be shared, and so I think a lot of the emotion for the viewers came from hearing Debbie Lee say, I was ashamed and I was embarrassed.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell my family, and Peter Searle had that same experience, and I guess for many of us we hadn't really thought too much about it, that it was a real struggle in those early years and into the 80s and 90s.
And that stuff really surprised me with Debbie, because I've known Debbie for years, but, yeah, it really surprised me she was embarrassed by that. Ange, I need you to hang on. We'll come back.
Sure.
So I want to talk to you about your book too, Breaking the Mould, as well as the doco and women's sport in general. Angela Pippos, well-known sports journalist, who's with me, author of the new book, Breaking the Mould, and, of course, one of the women behind the documentary that went to air last night called League of Her Own, about three terrific stories of women coming up through the playing ranks, and for two of those they made their debut last night. Ange, the new book Breaking the Mould, it amazes me, the statistics about women's sport are quite frightening. I mean, to the point where horse racing actually gets more attention than female athletes get at all, which is fairly frightening.
Yes, but the good news is that the situation is changing. So when I decided to write this book, I was feeling quite negative about the sporting landscape for women in this country.
Yep.
But by the time I finished it, things had changed quite a lot. So the good thing is that there's this lovely optimistic arc in the book where I start by just explaining how hostile the landscape has been for women in sport and some of the problems with the lack of a pathway and access to facilities and, you know, the wage gap and those sorts of things and lack of media coverage. Yep. But the second half of the book talks about the tipping point and some of my theories as to, you know, why it's changed and why women are now being welcomed into the sporting community more. So, look, the second half is certainly very positive. And it was actually quite difficult, Kev, keeping up with all the positive developments for women in sport. It was actually, you know, quite a nightmare for me as a writer having to sort of email my publisher saying, I'm not going to make this deadline. And the reason is, and that's a legitimate reason, is I can't keep up with the change. And it's just so great to be living through it because, you know, we're seeing more and more interest from the media, from sponsors, and, you know, and women, we've always been really successful on the world stage, but there seems to have been a change at around about the year 2015 where women are being valued more for being sportswomen. So I don't know, there are a few reasons. Worldwide, the sort of fight for equality, some of that has seeped into sport.
Yep.
And sport has been, you know, it's a bubble. It's sometimes really hard for change to take place.
It can be both, can't it? It can be a bubble and it can be a mirror.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep, spot on. But it's been, you know, overtly masculine since ancient times.
Yep.
You know, in ancient Greece, women couldn't compete at the Olympics. They couldn't even go and watch. I mean, and sport and masculinity have been, you know, doing a merry dance really ever since ancient times. And it's been hard for women to sort of crack that code. But we're getting there and it's fantastic and it's just so great for young girls to now see role models strutting their stuff on the big stage. And I think I'm a big picture person, you know that. You know, I just love the big picture. And for me, it's all about creating a healthier and fairer society.
Yeah, I agree.
And we are now getting there. We are getting to that point. We've got a fantastic new netball competition about to start, AFL Women's, the Big Bash, you know, the Matildas are on the rise. There is so much to love about women's sport at the moment.
Ange, is the biggest challenge to be patient with its growth?
Yes, it is. Yes. I think the AFL is doing this the right way with the 8-week competition, letting it stand alone, not in with the men's comp. This has to be sustainable. We've got to be smart about this. We've got to let it grow. I think it was the right idea to have 16 aside to sort of free up the game a bit and let these women really shine and give them space.
Yep.
So, look, I applaud the AFL for the approach it's taken. I know some people would have wanted, you know, 23 weeks, winter sport and do it just like the men, but that would have been foolish because these women have to go back to their local clubs and keep that thriving.
Yeah.
If you were to take them away from local footy for 23 weeks of the year during the winter, that would decimate the next tier of the competition. So it's really important that we grow it, we nurture it, so that it can be around for 100, 200, 300 years. And the pathway is very clear for girls. That's what you want. And because we have a problem with girls dropping out of sport in their teenage years, not just to do with the lack of pathway, but a whole heap of reasons. You know, it's body image issues,
yeah,
and messages they're getting from society. So we've got to do what we can to keep them involved. And, you know, certainly this helps having AFL women on the big stage. And, you know, it sounds like the match next week at Olympic Park might even have to
be moved. Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. And I've got a feeling there'll be a very full crowd, if not an over full crowd tonight at the Witten Oval as well for the game tonight between, even though it's the Dockers, I think it'll be jam-packed.
Hey, well, I'm hearing the Dockers are going to be strong.
Yeah, no, Dockers are
going to be strong. So tonight's going to be a terrific match.
It'll be good stuff. Angela, congratulations on the doco. If people haven't seen it, go on to the 7 catch-up, 7 Plus, and have a look at it because it's really well worth having a look at. Well done on that, and good luck with the book.
Thanks so much, Kev. Thanks for your support.
No problem, Angela Pippos. Great sports journalist there and broadcaster. Breaking the Mould's the name of the book, and League of Her Own is the name of the doco.